Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 165. I've got Henry here with me.
Hello.
How's it going, Henry?
Pretty good.
It is still the school year. I think last time you were on the podcast, it was just barely the school year. Now it's still the school year, a couple of weeks later.
Yep.
Are you settling into eighth grade?
Yep.
How's everything going at the middle school?
Pretty good, but recently... So this year... Okay, last year we used this program called Google Classroom, where basically you go on Google and there's like one of those apps. It was completely free.
I think your brother was talking about this last time. And about his complaints about the new app.
Well, but I have more about it.
Yeah,
well, so basically Canvas.
Go ahead and
you already
say
know
it.
It is just more complicated. Google Classroom, it kind of
William
it's really buggy.
Also had complaints about Canvas
okay,
on the last episode.
But here's the thing. I took a poll and it turns out less than 5% of people prefer Canvas.
Oh yeah. You've done some public opinion polling on it.
There are 4 votes for Canvas and like I can't remember how many votes for Google Classroom, but a lot. And 2 of the 4 votes for Canvas weren't actually because they preferred it. It was because they said that we just need to adjust to Canvas, which
yeah.
I don't know. I include those anyways because it makes me seem less biased.
Canvas what is that word?
Apologists.
They're Canvas apologists. My brain couldn't finish the word for a second. Canvas apologists. They're apologizing for Canvas and making excuses for it. But nobody likes it. Mostly nobody likes it.
Yeah.
19 out of 20 middle schoolers don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that there are some bugs and stuff. One of your teachers emailed saying, sorry, it's not working.
Yeah. There's still some people, like half of our band class still isn't like... registered for the Canvas, which basically on Google Classroom, how it would work is you'd enter in a code for the class and then it just take you there and you have it.
Mm-hmm.
But with Canvas, like, there's apparently a super complicated process of like publishing the class and like doing all this stuff. And yet for some reason, like, the students don't have to enter in a code. I think it's the teachers that have to do something. But for some reason, half the kids still aren't in my band Canvas.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there's definitely some bugs.
Some problems to work out.
Yeah.
So how is it being an multi-instrumentalist at school?
It confuses a lot of people.
Yeah. So we talked about this. I know we talked about it last time you were on the podcast, but this year you are not only doing trombone, which is what you've done for a couple of years, but you're also doing cello. So you're both in orchestra and in band, plus you do piano just on your own.
Yep.
So tell me about who it confuses.
It kind of confused every single person in orchestra, except for one of my friends who is in orchestra that plays bass. He was actually in the period before me, but I mentioned that I was in orchestra to him, and he was like, oh, okay. And I guess he doesn't know that in band?
Didn't have a problem. Oh, he didn't. Because he didn't know you were in band, it was no
probably
big deal.
But maybe he just wasn't surprised. I don't know.
Are you the only one in eighth grade that's in both?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it different? Does orchestra have a different vibe than band?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, the instruments are less loud and the people are less loud.
Yeah.
Than band.
That sort of makes sense. That, I don't know, just a different personality of the average mm-hmm. orchestra student versus the average band student, maybe.
Yeah.
But you're the perfect person to ask that question because you're in both. So you're not going to be biased toward one or the other, and you've experienced both now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it difficult to do all of that practicing, like on 3 different instruments?
A bit, but I do athletics, so.
And I think I might have asked you this question before, but. Does it help to like be able to play the piano and do cello and trombone, even though they're all 3 of them are played completely with completely different techniques?
Okay. Actually, yes, because piano helped me play trombone and cello also, because like I already knew the notes, so I didn't have to learn all of that. And trombone also helped me play cello because like, because you have to be so precise with like where you put your slide.
Yeah.
I kind of had some ear training.
Mom and I were talking about that. Like I was mentioning to Mom that I thought it would be hard to learn how to play a stringed instrument because like cello and violin and viola and even bass, they don't have frets. Like when you play the guitar, they have frets, which will tell you where to put your fingers.
You basically can't play an off-tune note unless if you're tuned.
Yeah. So like a cello doesn't have frets. Now, some people will put tape on the neck of
just to see like where you put your fingers.
So you have sort of a guide, but it doesn't have like frets. You just have to know you're playing the right note, right? That's how you would know if it sounds right that you've got your finger in the right place.
Yeah. It kind of helps to listen to other notes with it, like if I'm doing a scale. But also I feel like I have a lot of ear training from trombone.
Yeah. And then Mom pointed out that, yeah, that's just like trombone. And I think she was talking to one of your music teachers about that, because trombone is the same way. It's not like you just have to know that you're pushing the slide in the exact right position.
Yeah, cello is like trombone, because like with cello, the two instruments are kind of alike in that one hand is like has to make like super precise movements and the other hand just hurts because you're stretching it so much.
Yeah, it's funny because I think most people wouldn't think like that the cello and the trombone have that much in common, but musically they kind of do. The other thing is they both use bass clef, right?
Yeah.
And I never even thought about it before you told me that a trombone uses a bass clef. I don't know why. It just never occurred to me. Just like, so it's like the trombones and the tubas and the euphoniums that all are on the bass clef, right?
And wait, did you already mention tubas?
Yeah.
Yeah. And basses.
And what is a bass? Like a.
It's a big cello, basically. slower.
Well, yeah, a big cello. But I mean, like I thought you were talking about a brass instrument.
Oh, there isn't one, but there is a baritone.
Yeah, baritone. Is that on the bass clef
also?
Yeah,
it is. It's basically a euphonium, but easier to carry.
Yep. So what else is going on with the school year besides doing lots and lots of practicing? You don't seem like you've got a lot of homework. You didn't have a lot of homework last year. It makes me suspicious.
That is true. Although towards like the second semester, I got like a lot more homework. But right now, like, okay, it is only the first couple of weeks of school, but I haven't been getting that much homework.
You need to keep an eye on those quizzes and tests, though.
Yeah.
I'll say that. That's my fatherly thing that I'm going to say to you on the podcast. Keep an eye on those upcoming quizzes and tests so they don't take you by surprise.
Okay, but
you don't
so
want to
far,
bomb a test, like, early in the semester and then have to try and make up for it the rest of the semester.
Yeah, because it's only, like, each grading period, like, you only get a report card every 9 weeks instead of 6 weeks this year. And also daily grades, which are basically last year, all the grades were sorted into daily, minor, and major. And daily was, like you'd average your score for report cards, and daily was, like, I think it accounted for 30%. And then major was 50%, and minor 40%. I'm not sure exactly how that works because it doesn't add up to 100.
You know, it's okay. No one's going to fact check you on this.
Yeah. But anyways.
Anyway, daily work, it's important. Don't let it slide.
Yeah, except this year they're not having daily grades. They're just having minor and major.
Oh.
So.
Your daily work doesn't count as a minor grade?
Okay, now instead of daily grades, some of them are just minor grades, but some of them just aren't a grade. It's kind of confusing, but basically we have to have like less quizzes, which means we will have to study less, but also if we bomb one, then we're dead.
Sounds scary. What else is going on? There's a couple things going on around the house. Right now, you might even hear it in the background of the podcast, but our neighbors are getting their roof replaced. In the spring or early summer, we had a really bad hailstorm, and some of our neighbors are getting their roof replaced. I'm not. We got it last year. I don't want to replace my roof every year.
Like,
so we're just going to skip
it. Maybe in a couple years.
I haven't noticed any leaks or anything. Next time we have a really bad hailstorm, maybe we'll do it then.
Or maybe we could just wait until it caves in.
We just bought a new roof last year. I don't want to buy another one this year. It's not very exciting buying a new roof. It's not like you invite all your friends over and go, hey, look at this cool new roof I got. Because it looks just like the old one. It's just a bunch of shingles. But our neighbors are getting their roof done. That's why you might hear like the nail guns going off in the background. If you listen really closely, I don't know. I don't know if you can hear it or not, but I can hear it. It's kind of annoying. What else is going on? We've got some trips coming up. Did you know this?
Oh, yeah. You're going to India and Bangladesh?
Yeah, I have a work trip coming up where I'm going to fly to India and Bangladesh. I'm actually flying on Qatar Airlines. You know the country Qatar? Some people pronounce it Qatar.
No, I don't.
Q-A-T-A-R. Some people pronounce it Qatar. Some people pronounce it Qatar.
What region is it in?
It's kind of in the Middle East, kind of like near the Persian Gulf, kind of near where like the United Arab Emirates is. It's one of those countries. I'm flying on that airlines out of Dallas I'll do a stopover in Qatar, but then I'll fly to India and then to Bangladesh and then back to a different part of India. That's coming up in a few weeks. So because of that, I have to record some extra episodes. So I'm going to try to squeeze in a few extra episodes here in the next couple weeks. And then also, did you know, so this weekend is Labor Day weekend. So we've got a long weekend. You get Monday off school. And then the next Friday, you're going to play hooky. Did you know that? You're going to skip school.
Wait, when?
The Friday after this one. So today is...
Wait.
Today's Wednesday.
Tomorrow's Are we also
Thursday,
going?
Friday.
Are we also going?
Yeah, I'm taking you guys. We're taking you guys
to... Oh, I actually had no idea.
Colorado, to Denver.
Oh, Colorado, yeah.
Did you know
I
this?
I thought you were talking about India and Bangladesh.
No, I'm not going to take you to India. Unfortunately, I'm not taking anyone, not even mom, to India. It would be fun if I could, but it's totally a work trip, and I'm just going to be busy with work stuff most of the time. I'll probably get to see a few things in India, like on the weekend when I'm there, but...
Didn't you take mom to LA on a work trip once?
I did once, yeah, but LA is a lot easier to take her to than India halfway around the world.
True. Actually, that is halfway around the world. I actually, reversed all the coordinates on Google Maps and... I guess if we dug straight down, somehow got to the other side of the world, we'd be in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, it's totally on the other end of the world. And I'm going to be there for 10 days. So that would be hard to take mom away and not have anyone to take care of you guys for that long, especially during the school year. So, yeah, we're going to go to Denver a week from Friday. Wait, a week from next Friday? I don't know. However it works. A week from this Friday. A week from 2 days from now.
Yeah.
We're going to fly to Denver and visit our cousins for a weekend. Actually going there because mom and I are going to go to a concert. But we're just dragging you guys along.
Yeah. But I'll be glad to see my cousins.
One of my favorite bands, The National, is not playing in Dallas on this tour. Maybe they'll play later, but on all of the dates that they've announced are not playing in Dallas, so I had to buy tickets to Denver, and then I'm going to go with my sister and her husband to go see The National, but then you can hang out with your cousins.
Yeah.
Who you like, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. That'll be fun.
I'm glad they're not horrible cousins.
Yeah, that would be bad. If you just hated visiting them, that would be bad. But you like them.
Yeah.
So it'll be all kinds of fun. Anything else going on? We haven't had a Maisie update in a while.
Yeah.
Since you've been playing the cello, she has been singing along with you almost every time you practice.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating, though, because I always want to get it on camera. And as soon as I turn on my camera and, walk over there, she looks at me and stops. And she will not do it on camera.
It happens with mom, too.
I know. It's so frustrating.
Maybe she just thinks that if you don't play an instrument, then you can't. You can't record it.
I think we've recorded it before. I think we've even played it on the podcast. But lately, she really likes to howl along with your cello. Unless there's someone there that wants to take a video of it.
Yeah.
And then she stops. And then she's like, oh, I'm done. I don't want an audience. It's she doesn't want to sell out. She's one of those musicians. It's only in it for the art. She doesn't want publicity. She doesn't want an audience. She's just in it for the art. Pretty sad. But she likes to hang out in the music room when you're practicing and howl along to your cello.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Does she howl along to the trombone too, or just the cello?
Just the cello and also recorders and yeah. Will's viola.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. Well, let's do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I have a story from the world of
science!
This is a story. Not only is it from the world of science, but it sounds like a bunch of scientific gobbledygook. It sounds like, you know, like on Doctor Who when the doctor really gets rolling and he just gives this long explanation that sounds like he's a genius, but no one around him understands what they're saying?
Yeah.
That's what this whole article sounds like. Article is about a scientist who published a paper giving instructions for how to create a wormhole, which is pretty cool. Do you know what a wormhole is?
Yeah, it's like a time travel thing. Or wait, or is it time travel or is it space travel?
It's both. So it's really important in the world of science fiction, because if you're going to talk about like interplanetary travel or intergalactic travel,
you got to use wormholes.
It's impossible, because it would be the most boring book in the world, because to get from the Earth to any other habitable planet is going to take like a million years.
Yeah.
Right?
Like at the speed of
light. A million
light
years away. There's no way you can get to another galaxy or even a like another star within our galaxy. So you have to have a wormhole. So Einstein's general theory of relativity makes the possibility of wormholes possible. Makes wormholes possible. And a wormhole is basically a hole in space and time. So you can start in one location and arrive at another place in the universe that's in a different place or time. So in theory, you could travel great distances between like Earth's atmosphere and some other place. So every science fiction movie uses this. Like, they use it a lot in the Star Wars universe where like a ship will just appear. Or like,
wait, I thought that was like going beyond light speed.
Yeah, it's like warp speed.
It's not really a wormhole, though.
I mean, it's got to be at some, I don't know. Or like a faster than light hyperspeed or hyperspace. Hyperspace, I think it has to have something to do with a wormhole. Anyway, wormholes, and maybe it's not actually a wormhole, but it's something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in physics, this is theoretically possible, but there are some problems with it. The biggest problem is that they are fantastically unstable. Problem with creating a wormhole is as soon as you create one, as soon as anything passes through the wormhole, including like one photon, the whole thing collapses and probably destroys the thing that's going through the wormhole. That's a problem. Unless you have something with negative mass, that can balance the wormhole and make it stable. Creates another problem, though. There is no thing that we know of that has negative mass. So that's a bit of a problem. It doesn't exist. Other people have said, well, you might be able to create a wormhole if you charge a black hole. So black holes carry an electric charge. And if you have a charged black hole, it could create a wormhole, but it would still be unstable. But if you had another black hole and they were both charged, like it's an opposite charge of the other black hole, then they could balance each other out. But the problem is if you have like a negatively charged black hole and a positively charged black hole, you know what would happen?
What?
They would slam into each other. They'd be attracted to each other. They'd slam into each other. Then you'd have like two massive black holes just tearing everything apart. There's another proposed solution, which is if you had a black hole, which is something from which no matter can escape, and a white hole, which is an object from which no matter can enter, then those could balance out each other. You could theoretically create a stable black hole, a stable wormhole. You know what the problem is here?
You can't go back. Okay, I've heard about this. Like, you go through the black hole and out the white hole, but you wouldn't be able to go back.
Well, here's the problem. White holes don't exist. Also a problem.
Oh.
So in this paper, this physicist says one thing you could do is you could create, you could do the two black holes things, but if you connected them with something called cosmic string. Cosmic strings are theoretical defects similar to the cracks that form when ice freezes in the fabric of space and time. They're cosmic leftovers formed from the early heady days of the first fractions of a second after the Big Bang. They are exotic objects no wider than a proton, but with a single inch of their length, outweighing Mount Everest. You never want to encounter one yourself, since they would slice you clean in half like a cosmic lightsaber. But you don't have to worry too much, because we're not even sure they exist, and we've never seen one out there in the universe. Anyway, so cosmic strings have like some really strong tension. And if you created, if you used enough cosmic strings, you could link the two black holes together, and it would force them apart long enough that this wormhole would be stable for a certain period of time. Over time, eventually, it would degrade, but the cosmic strings could be like the netting holding this wormhole together, according to this paper. And then also, the cosmic string could vibrate at like a certain frequency that would cause space and time to change. I don't know what any of this means, but it sounds really cool.
Yeah, that sounds like something from science fiction, like cosmic string.
Doesn't it? It sounds like that's like the level on which like this story appeals to me, is on the science fiction level. Like,
yeah, I don't understand any of the science fiction though.
I don't understand any of the science. I'm sure there's a lot of math involved, and I have no idea how the math works. But this whole thing of creating a wormhole using cosmic strings and two black holes just sounds really cool. I don't know.
But how would you connect the black holes?
I don't know how you do any of this stuff. I mean, it's not like you can just get a really big wrench.
Also, there is a problem with that I see, at least. Wouldn't the cosmic string not be able to hold those together?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, the cosmic string would be between it, so it would, like, be torn between it. But what,
yeah, so the cosmic string is like, it's really tense and it's pushing the two black holes apart, even though they would be attracted to each other because they have opposite charges.
But wouldn't it like snap in half if it were?
Eventually, I think it would, but it would open the wormhole long enough that theoretically, like, light and objects could pass through the wormhole is what these physicists say. And I'm not a physicist, so who am I to say they're wrong?
But if wormholes like affects time, then how would you know, like, if you could get back out? Because it...
I mean, I don't know. I think once you go through a wormhole, the chances of getting back are pretty difficult.
Okay.
But we don't know how this stuff works.
But if you time traveled in the future... What if you time traveled into the future, but so far in the future that's already snapped? That could cause a weird paradox.
I'm sure there's all kinds of weird paradoxes that we could think of. But I have no idea how it works. No idea whatsoever. All right. I think you have a news story that's almost as important as that one. Do you want to share it with us?
New Hampshire woman fined to keep pee before we go vanity plate. It's a spell.
I think you have to spell this out. So she's got a license plate on her car.
It's spelled PB number 4 WEGO. And it means like pee before we go, like use the restroom before we
pee before we go. P, what is it? Spell it out again.
PB number 4.
The number 4.
WEGO.
WEGO. Pee before we go. Which is kind of funny. I think it's kind of funny. All right, so what's the controversy here?
Apparently the Department of Motor Vehicles told her in New Hampshire. No, it's just the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Well, it would be the state one. So the state DMV in New Hampshire.
Well, the New Hampshire DMV told her that's in violation of state requirements.
Mm. And how does it violate the state requirements?
It's according to this article, there's a ban on vanity plates referencing an excretory function.
This is like a good example of, like, it sounds like a good idea when you make the rule until you like realize that it's kind of silly to apply it to everyone. You know, like yeah, when you're like sitting around thinking, okay, what things should we not allow on a license plate? Well, you know,
like it could be good, but also
things
could
are
be
like
bad.
Hate speech and things are like bodily functions. We don't want to allow that. But then you've got this lady who's had a license plate. And all it says is pee before we go. And she's like, come on. Come on, guys.
Wendy Auger, the owner of the license plate, and I'm guessing the car, I don't know, says it's not offensive. It's just, it's what you in every way says to your children before you walk out the door.
That's right. Have you used the bathroom yet? You yeah. might want to use the bathroom. I don't think it's very offensive. I think saying pee before you go doesn't seem like it would offend anyone.
Yeah.
I think she should be allowed to do it. Hopefully she wins yeah. her appeal.
It says here that she recently received a letter saying that her case is being reviewed.
That would be weird to have a license plate for that many years and then suddenly get a letter in the mail. Like, come on. Like, if it was okay for 10 years, why is it suddenly not okay now? I mean, I understand they have to have standards. And you wouldn't want to have, like, lots of offensive stuff on license plates, but I don't know, man. Any thoughts?
Nope. This is kind of self-explanatory.
Where do you land on the controversy? Do you think she should have to change it?
I don't think she should have to change it, but at the same time, I feel like it'd be kind of hard to word a law where that would be an exception. I don't know.
To come up with a good rule that's going to apply to everyone.
Yeah.
It's probably harder than it seems, right?
It sounds just super hard, but if it's harder than it seems, then that means, like, it's probably pretty hard.
Yeah. All right. I've got one last news story here. This is about a man in Colorado. He's from the town...
Colorado Man?
It is Colorado Man. He's from the town of Indian Hills, Colorado, which is a little town of just 1,000 people. He has become internationally famous for his dad jokes. He is very, very famous for his dad jokes. And I don't know why some of these, I'm going to take a little bit of exception. Some of these are just really good jokes. Some of them are like classic dad jokes, but some of them are just really well-made jokes. Vince Rosmarek, who lives in the tiny Colorado town of Indian Hills, has achieved what generations of fathers have striven for. He's become internationally beloved for his dad jokes. This is from an article that appeared in the Washington Post. His favorite dad joke is this one. Cows have hooves because they lactose.
That's actually pretty good.
That's pretty funny, right? A lot of these are really funny. That's not my favorite one, but that's his favorite one. Rosmarek, who's age 56, says he started his life of public puns 6 years ago when he began volunteering for his town's community center and took over managing the roadside message board sign that stands along the highway. At first, he posted straight-laced messages for community members, but on April Fool's Day, he said things started going a little haywire. I guess the neighboring town is Morrison, and a lot of people were upset because the cops in Morrison would do a lot of speed traps and give a lot of people tickets. And he put on the sign, Indian Hills annexed by Morrison on April Fool's Day. And a lot of people got really upset. And the Morrison Police Department even gave him a phone call and said, knock it off. But instead of saying, okay, you're right, I shouldn't have done that, it emboldened him. He decided that making funny messages on the sign was the thing to do. And now he has more than 84,000 people from 54 countries following him on Facebook. Because every time he changes the sign, he posts it on Facebook. And in fact, some of his followers, he has a lot of followers, and some of them, like, they always post messages about how much they love his signs. And one person wrote, "This little place saves my life most days." Here's some examples of some of his jokes. I don't get this one. They say this is a pun, but I must just not getting it. He says, just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. Is that a pun? I don't think that's a pun. That's just a little saying,
is
right?
Is it a political pun?
No, I don't know what that means. This one I like.
I mean, I guess it's true.
I like this one. I call my horse mayo and sometimes mayonnaise.
Wait, what?
I call my horse mayo and sometimes mayonnaise.
What? Oh, I get it now.
You got it?
It's like, took a while. Sound that, yeah.
Yep. He says, obviously I'm a man with time on my hands. My three kids are all grown and people could use something to smile about. So why not? I thought. Here's another one he has. Break in at the Apple store. Police looking for eyewitnesses. It's like eyewitnesses with a little eye in front of witnesses.
That's good.
One of his fans, Reimer Freetag from Wellington, New Zealand, says he's been following Rosemarack for several years. I came across his signs a few years ago and quickly grew to love the warm, witty humor. Some of his favorites are things that Rosemarack uses to advise people, like this one. Procrastinators Anonymous meeting is postponed indefinitely.
Oh.
Here's some more. Let's see. One time he says he got into trouble, and someone complained about one of his signs. In 2015, he posted the phrase, Old McDonald had OCD, E-E-I-I-O. And someone complained and said that it sounded like they were making fun of people with disabilities. And he wrote his response on the note and said, do you see how nice and square those letters are? I have OCD big time. They didn't like it. He was mentioned someone with OCD. Here's some other stuff. He says he's only done one political joke. He tries to avoid political jokes because he doesn't want them to be like divisive. The only time he did a political joke was during the 2016 presidential election, where he said he put on the sign, the problem with political jokes is they sometimes get elected. Here are some other ones. This one might be my favorite one. There's a picture of this one. He says, I named my pet Newt Tiny. Why Tiny? Because he's minute.
Oh.
I like that one. That one made me laugh. That one made me actually laugh.
That's good.
One time, a group of motorcyclists from Wisconsin came all the way from Wisconsin to like take a picture next to a sign. And the sign said, ban pre-shredded cheese, make America great again. And the motorcycle gang, or the motorcyclists from Wisconsin, the reason they came down was because they were cheesemakers and they wanted to take a picture next to the sign. And then when they showed up in town, he changed the sign to say, to the cheesehead bikers who rolled through, looking sharp.
These are pretty good.
Yep. One more. I think this is the last one I have, but you can look up his Facebook page. Oh, no, there's a couple more. Here's one. If a cow doesn't produce milk, is it a milk dud or an utter failure?
Okay, these are actually like, I feel like these aren't even dad jokes anymore. They're just too good.
They're just good jokes, yeah. This other one's kind of funny. It says, disbarred lawyer finds new work as sous chef.
What?
Except it's S-U-E. You know, like a sous chef is like the assistant chef.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. The sous chef is like, it's like the second in charge chef in a kitchen. So disbarred lawyer finds work as a sous chef. I thought that was pretty good. Mm. So way to go, Mr. Rosemarack, for being internationally famous for your jokes. I like those jokes. I might have to follow him on Facebook now, just to see them.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right, let's do another segment. I'm wondering if I should play the really bad drop we have for the segment.
We should.
Should we?
It's tradition.
Okay. Oh, no. I guess we have to.
One word story.
So William is joining us. We're going to do the segment we've done a couple times before. One word story. I feel like each time we do this segment, it's getting a little bit better. When we first did it, it was kind of a train wreck. And it's been a little bit, it's been more like a car wreck and then maybe like a bicycle wreck.
Yeah.
I have a feeling this time it's just going to be like
a pedestrian wreck.
Yeah.
Just people who are walking along.
Like
and
two people
into each
are
other.
On their phones and they bump into each other.
Yeah.
By
and
the way,
they apologize.
All right. We're going to do one word story. And the way we do one word story is we go around the circle and we tell a story using one word each going around the circle. But we also, the wrinkle is we each have to use a word from a random list of words. So I've got a random word generator here. It's going to generate 9 words. Each of us will use 3 of them. So the story can't be over until all of us have used our random words. All right, here are the words. Henry, your words, you might want to write these down. These are pretty funny. Are haywire. Mm-hmm. First word is haywire. Second word, orphanage. And third word, dismember. It's gotten pretty bad already. All right.
I feel like if these were all connected, then it'd be, I don't know.
Henry or William, your words are perilous. That's a good one.
Perilous.
American. And warm.
Okay, remind me what the word perilous means.
Means like dangerous or like in a...
Like a perilous journey.
Wait, so the last one is worm?
No, less dangerous and more like...
It's kind of what it's
like a hard journey, like a
risk,
perilous.
Like you're in a...
Like risky,
it's risky, yeah.
Yeah,
it's like risky. That's a good...
Okay.
Or in danger, I guess you would say. Not dangerous, but like in danger. And then my words are gravel, decadent, and waveform.
I'm not sure if my last word was warm or worm, but I'm going to go with worm.
It's warm.
Oh, okay.
Like the opposite of cold.
All right.
All right, so Henry... Yours are haywater, not haywater. Yours are haywire, orphanage, and dismember. William, yours are perilous, American, and warm, and mine are gravel, decadent, and waveform. All right, who wants to get us kicked off?
You can kick off.
One.
Word.
Story.
Once.
There.
Was.
A.
American.
Orphanage.
In.
Nebraska.
The
orphanage
was
poorly
constructed.
And
the
orphans
were
haywire.
I don't know about that. So
they
destroyed
every
inch
of
the
orphanage.
And
then
they
dismembered
their
own.
This is taking a dark turn.
Their own.
Take it dark really quickly.
That's hair. They cut off their hair, basically.
Oh, okay. All dismembering right. Your hair is not quite as bad. So
then
they
went
on
a
journey.
It
was
grave
and
very
decadent.
But
it
wasn't
hopeless.
But
their
journey
was
almost
unbearable.
They
wanted
to
go
to
their
parents,
but wait.
They
realize
they
didn't
have
any
parents.
The end.
No, I still have words.
I still have words. Too.
Yeah, I was kidding. Also, the end is 2 words. So
they
finally
decided
that
they
would
go
and
visit
a
dragon
who
was
needing
help
with
being
a
waveform.
What?
I don't know. The dragon wanted to be a waveform.
Okay.
It was one of my words.
It's a transforming dragon. Yes.
They
ventured
toward
the
mountain
where
the
dragon
lived.
Roar,
said
the
green
dragon.
I want it to be green. I don't know.
And
then
they
started
to
wonder
if
the
dragon
was
actually
the
friendly
giant,
because
they
seemed
to
feel
welcomed. So many twists.
You guys still have words?
Yeah.
I don't.
So Henry said, so
they
taught
the
dragon
how
to
speak
waveform.
Then
the
dragon
transformed
into
the
waveform
and
killed
a
mosquito.
The
orphans
really
were
amazed
that
the
dragon
killed
the
mosquito,
because
they
also
decided
to
kill
the
mosquito's
brother. They also decided to kill the mosquito.
Okay. What? All right.
But
the
journey
to
kill
the
mosquitoes
was
very,
very
surprising.
No!
Oh, yeah. Perilous.
And
it was perilous.
I have one word left.
What is it?
Warm. All right, Henry.
That
was
not
very,
very
helpful.
Was
it,
said
the
dragon.
Yeah.
Said
the
bald
orphans.
That plot line's still going.
They're bald. It's still going. They just removed their hair.
We didn't forget about the orphans that ripped out their hair.
We didn't forget about how they're all Caillou's.
The
orphans
then
decided
they
would
go
and
head
to
the
orphanage
because
it
needed
to
be
rebuilt.
And
then
they
built
a
house
on
a
mountain
where
the
dragon
was.
Well, it's a waveform now.
Oh, true.
The dragon was sleeping.
The
sun
went. The sun's going down.
Down.
And
the
night
was
falling.
What?
Like falling upon
you
them.
You missed your chance. Upon
the
orphans.
Their
blankets
were
very,
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 extremely,
extraordinarily,
abundantly,
excessively,
unbelievably
thin. Their blankets were thin.
So
then
they
were
cold
and
not
happy.
So
then
they
built
a
cabin
which
was
resting.
What?
Wait.
Oh, resting on
the
wavelength or waveform. The dragon waveform shapeshifter. Henry, continue.
Which
was
warm.
The
end.
I guess that was a plot twist, was that the dragon that you don't know until like halfway through the story is actually good, and it can turn into a waveform.
I mean, it's a shapeshifter, and it turned into
It can turn back into a dragon.
Well, now it can because it speaks waveform.
It's a magical beast.
Okay, so it was originally a giant, then it turned into a dragon because it spoke dragon, I'm guessing. I'm just theorizing. And then it got taught the language of waveform, became a waveform.
It's like a photon. It can be both a particle and a wave at the same time.
Oh, and also the orphanage was very unstable, so they destroyed it and then dismembered their hair for whatever reason.
I don't know.
So they could rebuild it.
If you read the novelization, it makes a lot more sense.
I'm sure it does. And it also makes more sense when you see it up on the big screen because mm-hmm. a lot of it, let's face it, is just special effects. It's more of a visual story, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're actually launching our one-word cinematic universe.
All right. So that one-word story, I don't know if we quite made it to pedestrian wreck. I think we're still at the level of car wreck.
But it was less than the turtle one.
It was definitely not a train wreck. It was more like a car wreck.
Yeah.
There's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
For treat yourself today, we were on the candy aisle a little while ago, and we noticed that there are some new candies. Some of our favorite candies, I think everyone will agree, some of our favorite candies are Sour Patch Kids and Swedish Fish. The company that makes Sour Patch Kids and Swedish Fish, which is, who makes these things? The Mondelez International Company? I don't know. They have new versions of these. These are Sour Patch Kids Heads and Swedish Fish Tails. So the Sour Patch Kids Heads have a different flavor on the head than the rest of the body of the Sour Patch Kids. And the Swedish Fish Tails have a different flavor on the head of the fish than the tail of the fish.
Kids have already made this. It's unoriginal.
I think.
Well, it's a new product. It says new on the bag, so I'm going to believe that it's new.
I kind of think they're running out of ideas at this point.
I got a question for you boys. It's gonna be horrible. Which we try first? Heads or tails?
Tails.
Swedish fish, because like sour
heads
candy can last.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll let Alexa decide for us. Wait.
Ooh.
Alexa, heads or tails?
You got tails.
Alexa says tails, so we're going to start with the Swedish fish tails.
Sour candy leaves more of an aftertaste, so.
All right. Yeah. Which do you like better, Swedish fish or Sour Patch Kids?
I'd say Swedish fish.
Swedish fish.
I think I do, too. I thought you were going to say Sour Patch Kids, honestly.
A lot of times they end up regretting having, like, a full
your mouth feels
thing
weird.
Of candy because, like, it, like, sizzles your tongue, like, for the next day.
But that's only like, a problem with Sour Patch Kids, though. And then Swedish fish are just,
all right.
just good.
Everyone take a couple of Swedish fish, maybe two or three, so you can get different flavors. And then pass it around. And then we'll try it. I'm going to mute the mic so we don't chew into them because this is not ASMR podcast. But we will come back and let you know what we think of the Swedish fish tails. So I have a question for you. What flavor would you say regular Swedish fish are?
Cherry, based on those flavors.
It's kind of like a soft cherry.
I would say it's like a strawberry or some
kind
cherry,
of berry. Well, cherry, strawberry. Sort of like how licorice is kind of both.
Just a generic red flavor, I guess.
Yeah, I really like these Swedish fish.
Swedish fish tails, they claim that there are three different kinds. There's blue raspberry and strawberry, watermelon and pineapple. That's weird. The pineapple is green. The red and green ones are watermelon and pineapple. And the red and yellow ones are raspberry and mango. So it's blue raspberry and strawberry, watermelon and pineapple, and raspberry mango. What do we think of Swedish fish tails?
I think this is one of the few like limited edition versions of candy that's like actually a lot better than the original.
You think so?
And I really like Swedish fish.
Yeah, so
I'm assuming you think they're delicious.
Yes.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Wait, are these limited time only?
I don't know. It just says new. It doesn't say limited.
I don't think they're going to be limited. But
well, maybe they'll take them off
the shelf. I like how they actually gave Swedish fish different flavors, which I bet that someone's going to be annoyed by this who's listening, but I don't feel like the colored ones, like they're just like red, orange, yellow, and green. I don't think those have different flavors, but these actually do, and it's pretty good.
They do. It's pretty good. The flavors are not like really super strong. I think if you like Swedish fish, you're going to like these. I also think they're delicious.
I give them also delicious.
Some of them have like a kind of sweet blue raspberry flavor, and I really like blue raspberry. So, mm-hmm.
Blue raspberry is weird. I don't really approve of blue raspberry because it's not a flavor that exists in nature. There's no such thing as
blue raspberry. Okay, the flavor doesn't exist, but there are, are they called like moonlight raspberries? They're called something like that.
They're kind of like black raspberries, but they're like close to the color blue.
I think that's what you call a blackberry.
No, they're actual raspberries, like because they're like the same like size and shape.
They're actual blue raspberries in nature.
I have to look this up.
It's a bit of a, it's a little bit of a stretch to say that blue raspberries are based off of it, but like,
I feel like we have to come to the bottom of this. We have to get to the bottom of this. That's what you say.
They're like purple. It's like when you say like, oh, I like white grape juice, and it's not actually white grapes. It's green grapes, but like.
All right, here's what Wikipedia says about blue raspberry.
Oh, they're white bark raspberries.
Blue raspberry is a common flavoring for candy, snack foods, syrups, and soft drinks. The flavor ostensibly originates from Rubus lycodermus, more commonly known as the white bark raspberry or blue raspberry for the blue-black color of its fruit. Fruit products labeled as blue raspberry flavor often contain bright blue food coloring, the most common being brilliant blue FCF, although this coloring is not an accurate rendition of the actual color of the fruit, which has an almost black hue when ripe.
They look, I'm looking at a picture, like an actual picture. It's like they're, like you always think there's like super bright blue, but they're actually more of like a dark blue.
So yeah, all the people out there that say that blue raspberry isn't real, it is technically real.
I guess so.
I've looked this up before because I've been wondering this.
Here's a picture on Wikipedia of the fruit. It's really like a blackish raspberry.
Yeah, but like I think that's...
But it looks kind of bluish, I guess.
If we're going by like the type of logic where people go like, ooh, this is white grapes or whatever, like by that type of logic, I think that can pass as blue raspberries.
So anyway, blue raspberry, I guess it's sort of a thing. It doesn't seem like a thing to me still. It seems like such an artificial flavor. But anyway, all right, so next we will try Sour Patch Kids Heads. All right, here are the flavors of Sour Patch Kids Heads. You know what I don't like about this snack? It doesn't seem like you should say kids heads together. Like it's no candy should involve kids heads.
I thought it would just be like decapitated kids' heads.
That's disturbing.
Like, I thought it would be just the heads.
I don't think you should talk about decapitated kids' heads. Here are the flavors that they have in these. It is pink lemonade, blue raspberry. So blue raspberry again, but with pink lemonade.
Instead of strawberry.
Peach, orange, and pineapple red berry. My favorite was the pineapple red berry. Because the pineapple was pretty good.
That, I mean, I think that's just as good as...
It's a lot like Sour Patch Kids. I mean, if you like Sour Patch Kids, you're going to like this, right?
I was actually about to say they're very different from Sour Patch Kids. Like flavors.
The flavors are different.
They're so different, actually.
Really?
I don't know if I'm...
But if you like Sour Patch Kids, you're going to like them.
I don't know if
I give it a delicious.
So I don't know if I'm prisoner on the moment for this, but I think it is probably better than normal Sour Patch Kids.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
You both like them?
Yeah.
I think I like them, too. I mean, you know what you're getting with Sour Patch Kids. If you like Sour Patch Kids, then you'll like Sour Patch Kids heads. The flavors are different. I think they've done a better job, maybe even with these than the Swedish Fish, of making the flavors a little bit more distinct. I like them. They're good.
Mm-hmm. I think overall it's been really solid to yourself.
Yep.
Yeah, I sort of expected that, though, because I really like chewy candy, and these are both chewy candy.
Like
they're
really
reliable. I would have been surprised, although I've been surprised before, if this would have been, like, gross or just meh.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
I mean, it seems like usually when you just go by, like, candy that's, like, not, like, trying to do that weird thing where they'll make, like, spicy chocolate or, like... When it's, like, just candy, then, like, it's always going to be good.
It's kind of playing it safe, but I really like it, so...
Yeah. So, that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks, boys, for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. One of these days, I'll get around to getting on social media more than I have lately. You can find us at TalkToDadPodcast.com, where you can download and stream all of our episodes. If you like the podcast and you want to help us out, there's two things you can do for us. One, you can tell a friend about our podcast so they can listen too. And two, you can leave us a 5-star review. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, that helps us get the word out, and other people might be able to find our podcast easier if we have lots of reviews. So feel free to give us a 5-star review if you have. We very much appreciate it. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.